Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here in week four as the Falcons get prepared for the New England Patriots coming to town for Sunday Night Football on NBC, 8:30 p.m. kickoff at the Georgia Dome. And the Falcons currently 1-2, and myself, Jay Adams, Daniel Cox, we're going to sit here and talk about a little bit about the loss to the Dolphins last week, but you know we're going to move on, right?
Absolutely,
it's time to move on.
Yeah, yeah. 24-hour rules long since passed.
It has elapsed, and but we're going to talk about a couple of things, and we're going to give you some reasons why you know who you are. You're panicking. Stop that.
Stop it.
Stop.
Stop the panic.
We're going to give you some reasons why, and then we're going to do our ever popular buy or sell here on the podcast.
Extremely popular.
We're going to get into which is better.
Which is better.
I mean, there are a couple of things that might be better. So we're going to get things rolling here. You know, tough loss. Very tough loss because, you know, you talk about the injuries and you talk about all the other things that were going on last week. You put a lot of guys on IR. You lost some starters. You went to the next man up mentality, and it worked.
Yeah.
For all but the last few moments of that game against the Dolphins, you know, it worked. And I think that's what makes it so painful is that it was a game and a lesson, really, in how those little mistakes can get you. And you see you had special teams penalties. You had turnovers. You had all kinds of things that can change the tide of a game, and you know we're still trying to figure out the third quarter,
yeah.
And why halftime seems to be such a difficult thing to overcome in a game. But you know, all things being equal, I think you know that performance. You can at least rest assured that even with some of the top stars out on both sides of the ball, the Falcons are still a good football team that teams are going to have to contend with.
Yeah, when you look on paper, you know, some of those, like those two turnovers, or at least the one, the Harry Douglas fumble on the punt return was pretty damaging. But when you just compare the numbers, it's a game that we've seen the Falcons play dozens of times, and it's a game they usually win. So it's frustrating to lose that way, but really it came down to those 2 minute situations that you mentioned, you know, at the end of the first half, and then obviously you know, the Dolphins putting together that game winning drive there at the end, and then the Falcons just didn't have enough time to respond ultimately. It's frustrating to be on the wrong side of that when the Falcons and you know we have experience the other side of that so often. So it's frustrating, and I could tell you, I think you could tell, like, just from the vibe of the guys that there was some really deep frustrations about the way they lost that game on Sunday.
Yeah, of course. And you know, you look at historically how the Falcons have done, and by historically I mean the Mike Smith era,
right?
Yeah, and anything before 2008 doesn't really count, but
not anymore.
You know, it's one of those things that you see in a lot of ball games is these close games, and you know, every year it seems to be that, you know, you're still dealing with the same things. But I argue that you can look across the league and see the exact same things.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is not college football where it's one loss and you're out, and that you have to beat your opponent by 50 points in order to be respected. That's not.
Yeah, there's no. I think we've had this conversation
yeah,
before. There's no NFL rankings except power rankings,
right? And those don't
really matter.
Those don't count. So, you know, that I think that's important to keep in mind. You know, as we go, is that look, there were a lot of times in 2010 you had that 13-3 season where, you know, you could have easily lost a lot of those games, and every year since, you know, you're seeing the difference that those little things that go your way or those little mistakes that you make end up costing you or end up pulling you through, and those are the kinds of things that happen every week in every game in the NFL.
Yeah,
and everything, there's so much parity.
Yeah, and I think that's really the heart of what Coach Smith was talking about on Monday when he, you know, we've heard the words finishing and efficiency.
Those are the buzzwords
hundreds of times this week. And it started with Coach Smith on Monday, and he said he wants the guys and this philosophy, this mentality isn't something new that we've heard. It's kind of prevalent around the league and really around, you know, any philosophy of life, I guess. But he said they through the film study, they saw opportunities where they felt like maybe a little bit of lack of effort, not a lack of effort, but the finishing wasn't there. And it turns out that those plays where they weren't finishing the way Coach Smith or even the guys would have liked turned out to be game changers. And that was really Coach Smith's point was, you know, finishing each play like the game's going to depend on that single play. And if you do that, you finish each of those plays, he said you'll finish the game. We see it all the time, those single plays, you know, those single moments turn out to be game changers always.
Yeah, and that's the big thing that the team's going to be focused on this week, because you have to finish against this New England team coming in, because they've got, obviously, Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But there are other aspects of this team that are very challenging for mm-hmm. opposing teams. I mean, the Patriots haven't allowed a fourth quarter point at all this year. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that comes into play a little bit when you talk about a Falcons team that is traditionally starting fast. I mean, the Falcons have scored 31 points in the first quarter and not allowed any.
Yeah.
But then things get very lopsided once you get past that first quarter. So you're talking about a New England defense that hasn't yielded any points in the fourth quarter. So you've got to get your work done, and you've got to find a way to stifle that defense in the later stages if you're going to go through lulls and things like that. It's going to be super important to break that streak of theirs when it comes to points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and the way to do that is score touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's what they didn't do. You know, 2 of 5 in the red zone. You just can't win football games that way.
I did some math.
Okay. This would be great.
Did some math.
Okay.
Let me double check my math here. All right. Five trips.
Compelling podcasting right here.
Five trips to the red zone. You come away with 2 field goals. That's 6 points total.
Okay.
Out of 5 trips, potential of 7 points a trip, that's 35 points.
Yeah.
Right? Is my math
if
right?
If you say
on
it
that?
Is, I'm going to assume.
So that's I think is the issue, is that you go down to the red zone 5 times in a game and you only get out with 6 points. I think that is the big area where you know, you're focused right now is and Smitty said as much. It's not acceptable, and they're going to work to fix it. So certainly an area of the game that we should hope will improve this Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got.
Is it time to panic yet?
No.
No?
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
And then you're going to tell me why.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So this segment is called Don't Panic.
Don't Panic.
Capital letters, exclamation points, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. How many exclamations?
I've got 3.
At least 3.
3. No less than 3 exclamation points.
Yes.
And we call it Don't Panic because, well, there's some panic out there. And
there is.
I think there are a couple important things that we need to remember.
Okay.
In this situation. And I will start out. Number one, it's week 3.
It is week 3.
A long way to go. And I truly believe that, you know, that this is a football team that has struggled through some injuries here recently. But if there's a team that, when healthy, and it looks like there are going to be some very key guys that are going to be healthy when we get into the middle part of this season and then down towards the end of the season, down the stretch, when those guys are healthy, this is a team that is built to make up ground. I truly believe that. So that's why I'm not concerned about these early stages. I think this game against New England, you've got to – obviously every game is a must win. But you've got to win this game. If you don't, I still don't think it's the end of the world. I'm not there yet. Here's another reason. Head coach Mike Smith, after a loss in his career, 22-3
Yeah.
Pretty good reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to panic.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's remarkable what he's been able to do. So, you know, just some other numbers here. Falcons rank ninth in the league in total offense. They're putting up 379 yards a game. They're fifth in stopping the run, 79 yards per game. Falcons averaging 8.4 yards per touch in 2013. These are things that once you get that problem of getting into the end zone figured out, I could really see this team really taking off and really putting some teams away early. And so those are some of my reasons. I think everything's going to come together. There have been some changes offensively. You're obviously without Steven Jackson right now. Who knows if he's returning this week. But you've got some weapons that haven't been 100%. You know, Roddy's still coming back from the ankle injury. You've got an offensive line that's been in flux a little bit because of injuries and because of losing some guys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's still things that are coming together, and I think that you're going to watch here in the next few weeks because I really have seen some improvement in a lot of the phases of the game. It's going to come together for me.
Yeah, and that's – this team has consistently shown an ability to pinpoint issues and correct them. Maybe not overnight, like 1 week to the next, but they've shown an ability to do that. And here's, you know, my – reason for not panicking is a little bit of a history lesson. So I'm going to take you back. We're going to take you back to 2011.
Ah, good year.
You remember how that season began?
Yes, I do.
Tough
start.
Overtime road loss in Chicago.
Yep.
Okay. But do you remember what else happened in that game?
You're testing me out.
Protection issues.
Yeah.
Jay. that was how we began our season, yeah. Discussing what is wrong with the offensive line and why can they not protect Matt Ryan? They had I got some numbers here. 5 sacks in week 1 of 2011. Excuse me, 11 quarterback hits. Week 2, 4 sacks, 6 QB hits, and they won that game. That was that crazy game against the Eagles in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was also a Sunday night football game.
Yeah,
Sunday night or
Matt,
Monday night.
Was that one when Matt left and came back? Had an ankle which I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Week 3 was a Tampa loss.
I remember that one.
Uh-huh. 4 sacks, 4 QB hits. And then week 4 was a win. They gave up 0 sacks, but 4 QB hits. Okay. So what does all this mean? It shows progression. And I remember that was the story to begin that season, offensive line protection issues. And they talked about it the whole time, you know, scheming to correct those issues. We hear that all the time with these guys. One other thing is – I feel like this Falcons team was built on the offense. They're built to score points, and the defense is built to make a couple of stops, maybe force a turnover or two, get the ball back in the offensive hands. You know, that plan has kind of broken down a little bit this year, and it's kind of come back to the offense. They haven't been able to punch it in when they need to. These guys are really good at fixing those mistakes, scheming around some of their issues. I saw a really interesting stat the other day from week 3. Matt Ryan, I think it was Pro Football Focus, Matt Ryan, when he has 2 seconds to throw the ball, he's the best in the league in terms of completion percentage, 2.1. His number drops to a league average. So that just tells me, you know, they're going to continue to scheme around some of those protection issues a little bit, continue to get better. And some of those are issues, you know, from what the opponents are doing, as well as, you know, Lamar's flipping sides and some of those things. So I feel like they're going to try to get the ball out a little bit quicker to account for some of those issues that they're concerned with. But, you know, when I started to think about heading into week 4, and that was a 2-2 start that year as well in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how that turned out in the playoffs, but really, you know, they were still a relevant team, and they made the playoffs that year. And that's really all we want to be every year. So.
Yeah. And the other thing I look at, too, and I don't want to drag other teams into this, but, you know, the thing is you've got a couple of very good teams. I mean, the team that was in the Super Bowl last year is 1-2 right now as well.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers, 1-2.
Yeah.
You know, so these are early, early stages. And I don't think anybody's counting either of those teams out. So I don't see any reason to count the Falcons out either. And the other thing that I'll just bring up here real quick is that since 2008, the Falcons have been one of the top teams in the NFL in points per game, ranking sixth during that span with 24.8 points per game. This is a team that knows how to score.
Absolutely.
To me, they're going to figure these problems out. That it's just as simple as that. I'm not ready to push the panic button, and I don't think you should be either.
Nah, I agree.
All right. Well, that's that.
Great work. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's move on to some buy or sell.
All right.
Because that's always a good time. So we buy if we agree. We sell if we do not. Our first topic of the day, stop Tom Brady. You moved to 2-2. It's a good topic.
I'm going to buy that. I buy that statement.
Interesting. Tell me why. Tell me more, sir.
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, look at how do you stop the Falcons?
Stop someone putting argue, me on the spot.
Someone
today.
Argue why? It's this guy right here.
Put me on the spot. Stop putting me on the spot.
Okay. I just think look back to Super Bowl, the Giants Super Bowl. What was the plan there? Stop Tom Brady. They hit that guy all game long, right? They've got some injury issues as well. You know, these teams are kind of similar in terms of what they've gone through this year. I think when you look at injury issues and you know some of these things, the Patriots just happen to be 3-0 so far. So they've come out on the right side of that a little bit. But I think if you manage what Tom Brady can accomplish. And again, we go back to what I said earlier, a defense that can force a stop or two and maybe force a turnover. I think that's the key. So I definitely buy that statement. If you can stop Tom Brady, I think you can beat the Patriots.
I am going to sell that.
Really?
I'm going to sell that because I don't feel like this is a Patriots team that is solely focused on Tom Brady's abilities. A great quarterback nonetheless. Phenomenal quarterback.
Right.
You can take nothing away from him. However, I think we've seen over the past 2 years an evolution in their run game. And Stephon Ridley has been huge for that team. He put up 1,200 yards last year. Last week, the Patriots rushed out to 156 yards on 33 carries. So that shows that they're relying on that run game a little bit. Why? Well, Rob Gronkowski hasn't been available. Danny Amendola hurt his groin in the first week. So they've been trying to supplement some of those guys with the run game a little bit. So I think they've been finding that success in the run game. Therefore, I think if you shut down Tom Brady, that goes a long way towards helping you win the football game. But you've still got to stop the run. And the good news is, Daniel, the good What's news that? Is that the Falcons are fifth in run stopping in the entire league right now. So I like the chances to shut down the run game. Should you be able to also stop Brady, I think clearly those are the two facets of the game that would earn the Falcons a win.
Are you ready for this curveball?
Hey, throw it.
Here's another put Jay on the spot, which could become a segment here pretty soon.
Yeah.
What do you think about Rob Gronkowski, that tight end, that Hulk of a man?
Hugely, hugely dangerous. Hugely dangerous.
It looks like he's going to play this week.
It looks that way, and we'll find out more at the end of the week. But I think you got to figure there might be a little bit of rust. Who knows? You know, yeah. He hasn't played in a while. Coming back from – I mean, back surgery is no small thing. The forearm injury was obviously one that was significant for him.
Yeah.
So – you know, the question is how effective is he going to be in week one? I don't expect a lot of drop off from what we've seen from him in the past. So certainly a huge target for Tom Brady. But I also feel like if you take Gronkowski away, you've still got to stop that run game because they're going to go to it.
Yeah.
I just hit your curveball out of the park.
Nice job.
Thank you.
It looks like you've done your homework today.
I have done my homework.
You've come prepared.
For sure.
Just going to throw – we've been throwing stats out all over, so I'm just going to throw this one out. It has no relevance to what you just said.
Okay.
But Matt Ryan's – he's won 12 of his last 13 games inside the Georgia Dome.
That's a very good stat. Here's another one.
What's that?
Matt Ryan.
This guy right here, by the way.
Very tall.
Yeah.
Very, very tall.
You know who else is tall? You know. Lavine Toilolo. If I may just share a moment from the
Please,
open
by all
locker
means.
Room today. a lot of media there, as usual, mostly local folks. And there's one young lady that works with a local news station. Not the tallest girl in the world, but she chose to interview the tallest guy in the locker room, yep. Levine Toilolo, 6'8", I believe.
Yes.
And she stood on a stepladder while she did that. That was pretty, pretty awesome.
We see a lot of things that, you know, you forget, you take for granted sometimes that are interesting or funny. And,
yeah, yeah. You see the most interesting and funny things in players' lockers, and I don't even mean nothing weird or anything like that. Just random. I've seen a couple of these guys in some lockers.
Yeah, Tony's got one.
Yep, I know Matt's got one. Yep. Julio's got himself in his locker.
Yep. So. All right, let's move on to our next buy or sell.
All right.
Segment, because I clearly won the first one. Okay, so.
Okay, we're keeping score with all things now.
All right, here's the next buy or sell segment. Julio Jones is the best receiver in football. We buy or sell that?
I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
I mean, there's no homerism much to that, but here's what I know. Who leads the NFL in receiving yards right now, Jay?
Julio Jones.
What number is that? Do you know the number by any chance?
300 and... stop putting me on the spot. What is with you today? 300 and...
I swear I thought it was right there.
Yeah.
Show you that. 373.
I was going to say 379, yeah. But that was close.
So he leads... He leads the league in receiving yards. He's putting together like game after game now of really solid work. And I think even last year we saw moments in some games where he had a drop off, and maybe it wasn't even a drop off. It was just the balls were going in other directions to other guys. He's definitely acting as the centerpiece of the aerial attack, so to speak. But when we see him make plays like plucking balls out of the air over defenders' heads and stuff, it's just he just blows my mind. We have the advantage of seeing him every day, but I think he's the best just from watching what he can do. But then his receiving yards as well. I mean, he's a monster.
I'm not going to disagree with you that he's a monster, and I'm not going to disagree with you in his production or anything like that. I think that there's a guy in Detroit by the name of Megatron who might have a little bit
something to say about it.
Look, I think Julio Jones is quickly becoming the best wide receiver in the league. I think I want to see a little bit more from him this year.
Okay.
And I think I've seen that, starting to see that. But for me, I'll say he's the most dangerous.
Okay.
Can I say most dangerous?
Interesting.
The most dangerous man in the world.
He's the most deadly player on the field.
The most deadly player on the field. I think when you get into talking about best, you start talking about career accomplishments and numbers and statistics and things like that. And Julio's resume is not long enough yet, I don't think, to be called the best in football right now.
Okay.
So that's my only point. It's a very, very soft sell for me. Very soft sell.
Interesting. I'm just looking at Julio's stats here. He's tied for the league lead in receptions with 27 as well.
Right, but that's also a product of Roddy being hurt as well.
But that's the thing. He leads the league in receiving yards when he's the top target on this offense.
Sure. And I think
he's getting double teamed.
Yeah.
We know how defenses are defending him, and he's still making it happen.
I completely agree with you, but defenses have also been focused on Tony Gonzalez, too, and they've been bracketing him like crazy as well. So while Roddy's not there to take away some of that attention, you know, Tony is also taking some of that away as well.
I'm a little bitter that you disagree with me.
Okay. All right. I'll see how it is.
Yep.
We can disagree.
Okay.
Brothers got to disagree.
Just wait and see who has a big game this week.
All right. We will see. All right. We're going to move on to which is better.
Which is better.
Which is better.
Yes.
So here we're going to go better play of week three. And I know we'll not bring up bad memories. We will bring up good things.
Yeah. I mean, that's
because, you know, that's what we do. So, yeah. Better play of week three, Yumen Yoras, second sack strip. Boy, he had a heck of a game.
Huh? He did. He did.
And this was a great play. Certainly heads up, and he was in the backfield all day. So,
yeah.
Kind of a breaking out party for him, you know, the past couple of games. He's really, really put together quite a performance. And then Jason Snelling's shovel pass touchdown, which was a thing of beauty when you talk about execution. And so
it's one of those – he's done that a number of times.
It's like his play.
Yeah.
We might as well call the shovel pass the Snelling.
That bubble screen is Julio's bread and butter when he gets a good block. That's that shovel pass at the goal line. That's around the goal line.
I mean, it's Jason Snelling's play.
Snelling. That's all Snelling.
It's a Snelling. So which is better? What do you got?
I got OC.
Okay.
I kind of called it, didn't I?
We'll get to that. Okay. Don't put the cart before the horse.
Sir. All right. Well, but obviously that's in my opinion the best play from that previous game. You know, defensive plays are so they're such momentum swingers. They change the dynamics of games. We expect teams to score. But when teams take the ball away from the other guys, I think that that really changes things. And you know, the Falcons maybe I don't recall situationally what happened. I apologize, but it's just one man just wreaking havoc, wrecking. Which is that, by the way, Professor J? Wreaking, wrecking.
It's wrecking.
Wrecking havoc. I don't know. But
you can wreak havoc as well. You can wreak havoc and wreck havoc. You can do both. That's why there's confusion.
OCU Manure reeks of havoc.
You reek of havoc. All right. I'm going to go with Snelling shovel pass. And I think simply from an execution standpoint, this is exactly what you want to see happen on this play. You've got you're looking run and you're going to the right side. And all of a sudden, you know, this hole opens up in the middle. Justin Blaylock gets out for a phenomenal block up the middle to really spring Snelling open. And then Snelling looks like he's about to get stopped on like the 1 or 2 yard line, and he just spins right off a defender and right into the end zone. I thought it was just from top to bottom just a great execution play and exactly the way I think you draw it up. That's what you envision happening. So for me, I agree with you that defensive plays are so rare and they can be momentum swingers. I think with this one, I'm just admiring the beauty of what was drawn up and how it was brought to fruition.
Execution.
That was a play that was perfectly executed.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a blueprint for what Coach Smith is talking about, when it comes to execution, I think that's one play that you can definitely look at.
And how about that? There's a guy, Jason Snelling, that we talked about finishing the play, you know, each play finishing it. There's and when I say this, it's going to sound like I'm alluding to players that aren't finishing or whatever, and it's not quite like that, but Jason Snelling, there's a guy that you know you're going to get max effort on every play.
Yep, absolutely. And he's been absolutely huge, and obviously, you know, the Falcons' depth, you can't discount the Falcons in the depth area because you've just got these players that can step up, and he's been one of them for years.
I was trying to do math in my head.
No, don't do that. Write it down or something. I got my abacus under here.
When you lose those number of players, if we told Falcons fans, beginning of training camp in week three, you're going to lose this starter, and what you know, this guy's going to be banged up and out. And you're going to lose, you know, on the road by a touchdown, essentially. I think some fans would have been like, I don't know about that. I think they're going to get blown out, missing some of those players. So I think depth, you know, kept them in the game, kept it close. It's just, you know, comes down to that execution aspect again. So.
Yep.
But there's reasons to be proud about guys like Joplo Bartu and Jason Snelling and some of those dudes.
Ah, speaking of Joplo Bartu.
Yes, speaking of. Apparently he has a nickname, huh?
We are going to get into some well-executed nicknames here in our highly serious
This has been brewing
better. We've been talking about this.
We just had to determine, do a little locker room detective work.
So we've got two nicknames. And what's the first nickname you think of when it comes to the Falcons?
Mud Duck.
No. No, it's not. It's the second one. The first one is Matty Ice.
Matty Ice, okay.
Our quarterback.
Yes, yeah, so, that guy.
Right. So we're going to discard him
okay.
for this particular segment. Matty Ice is in a class of his own.
Okay.
And we're going to say, which is the better nickname between Joplo Bartu and Lamar Holmes? And, okay, so let's start out. Joplo Bartu, his nickname, which has been given to him on D-Block, I think Sean Weatherspoon created this nickname for him. Who, you know, he also creates nicknames for a lot of other people.
Yes.
Sean Weatherspoon, if you need a nickname, he's your guy. All right. So our intern's car is still for sale, by the way.
yes.
So.
It's the longest eBay auction ever.
Joplo Bartu has been given the nickname High Top Jop.
Mm-hmm. Because, why is that, Jay?
Yeah, well, he's got that high top hairdo that the kids are bringing back in style.
Yeah, yeah. It's that retro retro look, the box.
Yes. So High Top Jop is what we call Joplo Bartu.
Yes.
And then Lamar Holmes has a nickname that nobody can really explain. It just kind of happens. His name is Puddin.
Puddin.
Puddin, with no G. Like Puddin.
I know what pudding is. I know
what it is. You know what
it's
pudding
tasty
is.
Tasty dessert. Yes. Nice treat. What's your favorite pudding?
Banana.
Nice.
Yes. Oh. Right?
Yes.
So good.
Oh, yes. I was thinking those little snack packs, but you,
no.
Yeah, completely.
Blew it out of the water with nice banana. Job. Yeah, thank you.
So
all
which
right.
is better?
So which is better? Which is a better nickname? Puddin or High Top Job?
I appreciate the confusion that Puddin elicits when you hear it.
I've seriously asked this question. How in the world did he get this nickname? And everybody's like, you know what? We just started calling him that one day, and he loves it, and that's what we just call him now.
It came about as a rookie, correct?
Last season? As a rookie. It just Puddin.
Yeah. I wonder if it has anything to do with locker or offensive linemen meeting treats and snacks.
It could be.
Because I know the rookies supply snacks for – there's a possibility.
I don't know.
More sleuthing to be done.
But I've asked this question. I've tried to do my research on it, and nobody can really tell the origins of Puddin.
I think that – first of all, High Top Jop. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is a hyphenated high top. Does high have – is it spelled traditionally – H-I-G-H?
That's a good question.
Or is it H-I?
That's a very good question.
Because when I wrote it and you know, we discussed it, I said it's high, H-I, dash, T-O-P. Yeah. And I think the alternate spelling is a check in the high top job category.
Yeah.
Also, another check. These are criteria for quality nicknames here, just future reference. The addition of the name, but shortened version. So it's almost like a nickname within a nickname.
Yeah.
High Top Jop.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards that at the moment.
All right. I'm gonna take the other side. This seems to be the theme of the day. We must. It's like we got together and decided that we were gonna disagree all day. But that's not what happened. But I'm gonna go with Puddin here. And let me tell you a little story. Well, first of all, I'm partial to nicknames after food. I think that's awesome.
Yes. Okay.
If you have, there's always like some reason why you would be named after food. You would think.
Yes.
But it doesn't always appear to be the case. And I'll tell you a little story. I had a friend, and he had a friend.
Okay.
And his friend's nickname was Biscuit. And I asked why.
Yeah.
Because when you start referring to somebody as Biscuit, you're like, well, is that your – did your parents give you that? Or like, you know, you start asking those questions. It's a strange name.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a strange thing to call somebody, Biscuit. How do you get the nickname Biscuit? I don't know. People started calling me Biscuit. and you just accept that as reality. And I think this is the exact same case. Hmm. Puddin', there's no origin, there's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no science.
Okay. So you
behind Puddin'. And I think that adds to the allure of it for me.
Interesting.
I can look at Joplo Bar 2 and tell from his nickname why he has been given that nickname.
Yes.
I can look at Lamar Holmes and only wonder how on earth he's been given the nickname Puddin'. So I'm going to say Puddin' is better than High Top Job.
We disagree, of course, but
score the argument at
yes,
home.
Yes, yes.
And tweet Settle us your it. Thoughts. Yes. Let
Both
us know.
These, which, if you wish to go back to week three, you can let us know which play was better, but certainly more pressing topic here is better nickname.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to get into our most valuable Falcon segment. Daniel's rubbing his hands because he has the lead. And let's go ahead and
there's one thing that makes losses there. Better. It's
it's
winning some aspect of the game.
Yeah, I know. So last week you boldly said, after I had boldly said that I was going defense as my projected player of the week, and I chose Desmond Trufant, who had a very fine game, four tackles, one pass defense. I mean, for a cornerback, that's pretty average, pretty good. Daniel, however, chose Ozzie Umenyora.
For the second straight week.
For the second straight week, which there should be some kind of rule against.
No.
Okay, we'll talk about that off air. OC had two sacks, two forced fumbles, and five tackles. Clearly the winner this week, Daniel Cox.
Clearly. 2-1, by the way, or I've won two versus your one.
Yes. No, you've explained that sufficiently. Okay. Thank you.
2-1.
Do you have anything else to add to that?
Not
anybody
right
to thank? Anybody?
No. I'd like to thank OC for coming through, number 50.
Yep.
Appreciate that.
Formerly 90.
Yes. So I will not select OC Umenyora. Just to give you the opportunity to even up the score here in week four. But I would like for you to go first.
Oh.
To determine who will be your most valuable Falcon this week.
All right, this week. Well, I think there's part of me that really, really wants to select Roddy White. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you why I would do that, though, because I love that matchup between him and Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
It's got so much history from when Talib was in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
And those two used to butt heads a lot, and that was a fun matchup. I wish, who knows where Roddy's health is at this point. He looks better every week. Mm-hmm. But I would love to put a spotlight on that in this case. However, I think I'm going to err on the side of caution, and I am going to say Julio Jones.
Okay.
Because I need a win, baby.
Oh, so you want the best receiver in football.
I need a win.
Okay.
Yeah,
who does he go to when he wants to win?
Hey, I didn't say – nah, never mind. All right, so I'm going with Julio Jones. I think that, they're going to get this figured out. And I think Julio is going to be a big reason why. And I could see him putting up a big day, just constantly being that go-to home run guy. So for me, I don't think it needs a whole lot of explanation. I'm going to go with Julio.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll stick on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Jaquizz Rodgers.
I was thinking about him.
Quiz. And here's why. I heard him say something interesting today on Wednesday during an open locker room. He said during his film study in the previous week, and this is, as he prepared knowing that he's going to be kind of the 1A, 1B option with Jason Snelling in replace of Steven Jackson. He said he felt like in some of his film study, he saw that he was, in his words, shaking too much, meaning he was kind of, dancing around behind the line, trying to make things happen really before it happened. And he said he really approached this game with the idea that he wanted to see the hole and go get it and then make some of his moves in the open field after, in that second line there. And that's what we saw. He had a career high, I believe it was 85 yards rushing, something like that. Had a really solid game. He was a big part of why that rushing attack was as successful as it was. Pretty good chance he's going to be in that role again this week. And I think that the Falcons are going to want to go with a time possession management aspect again, and they're going to want to run the ball. And I think Jaquizz is going to rack up some yards.
I would love to see it.
I'd
love to see Julio do it more, but I'd love to see either way.
I think Quiz might have his first 100-yard game.
Wow. Okay. That's a bold prediction, right?
Yeah. I'm making it.
That's a bold prediction. All right. Well,
so we do here
as we continue the sound battle with 790 the zone next door.
Oh yeah.
We'll go ahead and bid adieu for another week here on the FalconCast podcast. Remember to tweet us who you think has the better nickname, Puddin' or High Top Jop, and let us know how we did. Sound good?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Week four. All right. Week four. Sunday night. Let's get it, baby.